deep space. Absolute zero. Your beer can't get any colder, but it can get there faster. V&A Shipping. When it has to be there, dead or alive. Visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com for more information.
You're listening to episode 20 of The Gearheart. I'm your reader, writer, and host, Alex White. Renee White is the voice of our female characters. If you haven't had a chance yet or you're listening on iTunes, you can stop by The Gearheart blog and interact at www.thegearheart.com. Or you can email me at alex@thegearheart.com. Don't forget that you can also follow us on Twitter, username TheGearheart. And now, settle in, pour a cup of tea, and enjoy as we bring you more tales of The Gearheart. Last time on The Gearheart. After losing control to Auden Slade, Jonathan finds that he can no longer see out of one of his eyes. Has Auden gained the foothold he needs to finally take over? Wallaby takes over the body of Faye Barrett, giving the killer what he needs to escape. Will the Cirrus's assassin be punished for what he has done? Or is he off scot-free? Find out on The Gearheart. Things diminished for Isabel. Lights became less bright, colors faded, and sounds blunted. Trapped amid failing grays, she slowly felt her soul slipping out of her body. The only sharpness in her life was the white torrent of magic pouring into her heart, and even that had grown cottony and cool. It grew more tiring by the day to simply breathe, and at times, sleep would settle over her like a lead blanket so heavy she thought she could never awaken. At least it wasn't painful. Darren stayed by her side the whole time, carefully adjusting the stream of magic that washed over her burning heart. He held her together, but even her fear had begun to dull. When Isabel was first brought to the infirmary, she screamed and wailed. She wanted to see her mother, but she knew that was impossible. They would never let her mother see the inside of the Cercival house. She wanted to see Jonathan, but he had to obey his visions. Even though she held Darren's hand, she was alone. The magic in the Cercival house began to fail as well, as more and more energy was diverted to keep Isabel alive. Certain magical texts were no longer readable. Some of the house's defenses fell. The house became unbearably cold in places because the ancient hearths were no longer firing with the same energy that they had before. And still, Darren increased the volume of power flowing into her. When Isabel awoke from her deepest slumber, she saw only Darren. He seemed younger as he sat beside her bed and skimmed an old Kaldavi text. He was so intent upon it that she knew that it said something in there about her condition. If she could hold on to her body just a while longer, he would save her.
"Darren,"
she said. "Hello there," he whispered, and she realized it was night outside. "Can I get you anything?" Isabel wanted to say that she was thirsty, but the thought of water going through her deadened lips appalled her.
"No."
"All right. Are you comfortable?" Now that her eyes had fully focused, she could see that Darren was pale and ragged, with deep circles under his eyes.
"How long have you been awake?"
she asked. "Not long enough to figure this out," he said and continued reading.
"Darren, put the book down."
"Isabel, I don't think that's a good..."
"I want to know about you."
When she said that, he stopped and looked up at the light, the white reflections over his glasses hiding his eyes. He sighed and took her hand, squeezing it. I'm not sure you want to know anything."
please. No one else can be with me right now, and I don't want you to be a stranger anymore.
I can fetch Augustus.
We've never spoken, Darren. Not really. You avoid talking about yourself at all costs.
Darren put the book down and smiled, but Isabel could see fear in his eyes. Those eyes that were scarcely any different than when she first met him. What do you want to know, Isabel?
Simple things. Do you promise not to lie?
Said Isabel. Why would you ask me that?
Because I expect you to lie. And because I'm dying.
She replied flatly, striking a blow to the flow of conversation. All speaking stopped for a moment as Darren stared into her eyes. Outside, the castle clock struck midnight, and Isabel scrutinized his face as each bell rang out. All right, he said. I promise.
Where are you from?
She was shocked when he paused on even a small question. Gelset, he replied. His worry struck her as funny. She couldn't laugh, but it brought a weak smile to her lips.
Why don't you have a Gull accent?
I've been in the Northlands for a long time.
Have you lived anywhere else?
Asked Isabel. Many places, said Darren.
Stop dodging me.
She prodded gently.
I won't tell anyone.
Well, Gelset, the Ingegard Archipelago, Kashia, the Lowlands, Marol, the Wheel Islands, and Caldavia. The last one struck Isabel as extremely strange.
The Northland government let you in after you lived in Caldavia?
I lived there a long time ago.
The war's been going on for 30 years, Darren. I wasn't even born yet.
You're getting too worked up, Isabel, said Darren. You need to get some sleep.
When did you live in Caldavia?
I don't think we should talk about this.
When did you live in Caldavia?
She asked more fiercely, and the lights in the room dimmed to compensate for the extra energy her heart needed. About 800 years ago. The words were ridiculous. Isabel knew that he was telling the truth.
How old are you?
She asked, trying not to let her voice tremble. I'm not really sure anymore. I don't think about it.
Do the Seekers know?
The Seeress knows, I think, he answered. Darren's face betrayed no feelings, but his voice was gentle and sad. There was something remorseful about him, as though he was admitting guilt in some way.
Why did you join the Seekers?
I was looking for someone. I thought they could help me find her.
Who were you looking for?
A love that I lost, he said as his composure broke. His eyes softened, and his face bore a clear expression of subtle pain. I don't want to talk about her.
Did you find her?
Said Isabel. Her voice was a tiny whisper, but it managed to make it to Darren's ears. Yes.
Does she love you?
No. Isabel thought on that for a moment. Then she asked,
Is Darren your real name?
No. My name is Wylan the Younger. In an abandoned rail yard near the ruins of Antonello Castle, a sleeper caboose silently flickered with light. On the outside, the paint peeled and the wood buckled up. The windows were streaked and smoky with grime, and the iron bands that held the car together bled rust over the rest of the facade. On the inside, things were different. Silk sheets lay piled over a goose-down bed. Brass lanterns illuminated a plush, riveted leather wall set with finished mahogany beams. Several bottles of expensive liquor glittered in the dim light, throwing shadows onto the soft red carpet. Astrid crossed the caboose over to where Nicholas lay. The shadows burbling around him had died down, and his pink irises followed her slim figure as she knelt next to his bed. Milky white skin parted the darkness across his form. His gaunt body was a stark and sickly contrast to the deep forest green of the sheets, and his expression was an empty, polite smile.
"Why did you use so much power, Nicholas? What were you thinking?"
she asked, caressing his cheek.
"I was thinking that you are beautiful, my love."
"Not as beautiful as you,"
said Astrid.
"But why attack the girl?"
"I want to bring out Slade. I will put Elena between the commoner king and me, and she will die."
"And that'll happen if you kill her?"
"Only if I do it slowly."
Astrid frowned. She hated hearing him talk like that.
"Please, let me see it again."
Nicholas suddenly turned away from her, and the shadows crawled over his naked shoulders, cloaking all but his face.
"Not right now. Not right now, darling."
His dead smile continued as though his face was frozen in time.
"Please, Nicholas,"
she murmured, stroking his corpse-cold neck through the shadows.
"Why would you waste your time on my worthless body?"
he asked. His tone spoke not of anger or derision, but rather demure disagreement.
"I expect I will never see another machine like it."
He turned back to face her again.
"But it is broken. Beautiful machines are whole. Beautiful machines are simple. I am neither, and you have nothing to learn from me."
"Please,"
she said, climbing on top of his hips and gently brushing his hands away from his chest.
"Please, let me see it again."
"It seems strange to hear this from one as gifted as you."
"The convergence generator is nothing like you, Nicholas."
"That is because it works as it should."
Astrid's excitement faded noticeably.
"We won't know for sure until we turn it on, and even then..."
She trailed off.
"I believe it will be swift, my Gosling,"
he said, placing a palm on her cheek.
"That's why you needn't concern yourself with a broken toy like me."
"I will have you, Nicholas."
"You do have me, Astrid,"
Nicholas replied.
"Then open to me,"
she breathed as she traced a glyph in the air and touched his chest. Astrid felt every line of power, every circuit, every turn of the gear that powered Nicholas's body in that moment, as the plates of his chest opened up to her through the shadows. A hollow azure light poured from the opening in his ribcage as the plates finished exposing his mechanical organs. Astrid reached inside to feel the cool metal and run her fingers along the various tiny pipelines that connected the devices. A bellowing awareness of everything about Nicholas blasted through her body as the pipes parted like a curtain, revealing the greatest treasure of all. Inside his chest was a trembling, fractured sapphire, about the size of a human heart glittering in a brass socket. It was clear that, at one point, a skilled jeweler had carefully cut the sapphire, but now the stone was missing pieces from the various fissures that ran across its surface. The first time she saw the gem, it seemed as bright as the sun, but now it was a pitiful candle in his darkness.
"All that power from one human soul,"
she said.
"Think of how much more we'll do with the generator, darling,"
said Nicholas.
"I'm not sure it's ready, Nicholas."
"It just needs the gear heart."
She carefully caressed the surface of Nicholas's heart and shut the panels of his chest. Astrid sighed and laid her head upon his cool breast, running her hand along his smooth arm. She blinked back a tear.
"I'm not sure if I'm ready to do this, Nicholas."
"We can never be truly ready to do this, Astrid. No one is ever ready to do what must be done."
"It hurts, Nicholas. It hurts to think of all those people."
"It only hurts because you think of what they would think of you if they knew."
His soft lips parted as his chrysanthemum eyes met hers. Nicholas ran his fingers through her hair.
"I can take that fear and pity away," I can take everything away.
I'm afraid of that.
The gangrenous leg fears amputation, dear. Your pity will kill us both. And should you fail to ignite the generator, all life on this planet will one day fade away. You know I'm right.
But this isn't just killing all of the Seekers, Nicholas.
You're right. It will kill me. It will kill you. It will kill every last undeserving human soul left on this planet. But why does that bother you?
He said, speaking to her as a teacher to a child.
It bothers you because you are pointlessly human. Because you know that you are clinging to a life of repetitive survival.
But I just found you. I don't want to leave you.
That doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. We have a chance to bring back those who came before our inferior race. We have a chance to resurrect a perfect society with no human flaws, no social strata, no poverty, and no magic. Shouldn't we sacrifice everything to attain something greater than ourselves?
But isn't that pointless?
Is it pointless altruism when a soldier dies fighting to save his homeland? Is it pointless altruism when a mother trades her life for her child? It isn't altruism when you do what makes you happy. It would be painful for me to live out my days, watching mankind continue to squander our precious gift of life. And it is something that I will correct.
Astrid pulled up the covers and huddled closer to Nicholas. He wasn't warm. She couldn't smell his skin or his hair. He was an absence by her side, and she suddenly found that she couldn't get close enough to get comfortable. The closer she got, the colder she felt. The colder she became, the closer she wanted to get.
Nicholas, do you love me?
My darling Astrid, there is no one else with whom I would rather see the end of our world.
Then, how can I be like you?
Astrid felt the hangman's frigid chain slither up and around her body, scratching at her skin.
Let me eat all of your weaknesses, little gosling.
He breathed into her ear, his cool breath crawling down her neck.
Let me leave behind only the real you.
Will it hurt?
Very much.
Now that Darren has admitted his true identity to Isabel, can he be trusted? Who is Wylan the Younger? And what does his dark past hide? What will Nicholas do to Astrid? And what do they have in store for the planet? Find out next time on The Gearheart. The Gearheart Podcast and the Gearheart Music are copyright 2009 Alex White. Voices courtesy of Renee and Alex White. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for a message from our sponsors.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by New Day Fictional Character Recovery. Let us help you turn over a new page. Are you a kleptomaniac gnome, a vampire with a virgin addiction, or perhaps a simple werewolf who can't stop sniffing butts? Fictional addictions are a very real problem faced by many fantasy characters, but now there is help. Whether you're a zombie who eats brains to compensate for on-the-job stress, or an elf who acts like a jerk all the time, New Day is here for you. Call New Day Fictional Character Recovery and start your next chapter today. And by Partysaurus Rentable Dinosaurs, several tons of reptile fun. Are you entertaining guests, but you're not sure that you have enough giant extinct reptiles? Bring a Partysaurus to your next event and tear into the good times. Nothing says forever like a Tyrannosaurus Rex at your wedding reception. And all of the guests will appreciate the speed and grace of the Velociraptor at a birthday party or bar mitzvah. And most importantly, nothing can possibly go wrong. Partysaurus Rentable Dinosaurs, big lizards for big fun.